Good evening, everyone. I'm here because the mayor is under the weather, so I'll be running the meeting tonight. Everybody knows who I am.
Still.
So, George Kurtiker. So we're going to call the regular meeting of the City of Derby Board of Alderwomen to order right now at 7:03. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag for the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. And we'll call Mr. Newberg,
Here.
Ms. Petrici,
Present.
Ms. Fidomski.
Here.
Okay, she's noticed she's here. Jessica Barrios Perez,
Here.
Mr. Kurtica.
Here.
Mr. Sill.
Here.
Mr. Chevarella.
Here.
Ms. Falcioni Smith.
Mute.
She's mute. I think she's muted. I saw her there. Ms. Falcioni Smith, you need to unmute. Mr. Hyder.
Here.
Okay, so we'll.
I'm here.
All right. I knew it. The record should reflect you have nine members present, Mr. President. Sorry, I forgot your title.
Thank you. Any additions, deletions, corrections before we adopt the agenda? Seeing none. Number five, public portion. Anyone from the public like to speak? Mr. Coppola. Nice to see you.
Hi, Brian Coppola, 14 Cornerstone Drive. I just wanted to talk briefly about 7.2.2 in your agenda. It says, last sentence, plan study as recommended by the Sterling Opera House Consultant Selection Committee and the Sterling Opera House Commission. I believe that the Opera House Consultant Selection Committee should be stricken. The reason for that is that it is the Sterling Opera House that makes the recommendation per our ordinance, signed and approved by the Board of Aldermen. Just for clarity, that's what we were designed to do. We were set to go forward, to get requests for proposals, to look at them, to bring on outside professionals, industry professionals, to get those points and then bring them towards you. I understand that there were other people that wanted to come and help. The mayor requested more people to come in and help, and they did. But we came to a decision unanimously. And if that wasn't the case, there would be more discussion. But it stands that we are the commission that makes that recommendation. So I think that your agenda should reflect that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Coppola. Anybody else from the public would like to speak? Come on up.
Roger Pikorowski, 216 Derby Avenue, Derby, Connecticut. I'm going to sound a little bit like a broken record, but once again, I'm going to ask for speed bumps or some type of remediation for the speeders on Derby Avenue. It's a raceway, especially at night. And, you know, some time ago, someone got hit and I heard his screams from my den. He was in a lot of pain. And, you know, we need to do something about Derby Avenue and the speeding. Secondly, we've all seen what's going on in Washington, D.C. The people are there with their pitchforks and torches about the government's wasteful government spending. And we thought we had a surplus and we found out we had a deficit and we got a double digit tax increase. People are already talking about questioning Hartford and going through the line items there. Let's find out what happened to that money. I know it's a $30,000 bill to get that audit. But if we have another tax increase, especially if it's in the double digits, the pitchforks and torches could be on Elizabeth Street. So, you know, and I'm only getting single digit pay increases. So a double digit tax increase means something, you know, I got to do without something else. And I like to eat, as you can all see. But anyway, again, also common courtesy, you know, a lot of cities have don't lock the boxes and enforceable lines and everything else. I don't see a lot of common courtesy here in Derby sometimes, especially at Academy Hill and Derby Ave and Derby Ave and Main Street. once again, you know, we need to, common sense isn't that common anymore. So we need to expect it from people rather than just hope for it. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Anybody else from the public would like to speak? Mr. Lionetti? No, not tonight. Anybody? Yes. Mr. Lionetti or Mr. DiGiovanni?
Mr. President, I have a letter from the Gino DiGiovanni, member of the Sterling House, Sterling Opera House Commission, that I'd like to read into the record. Would you like to meet to read it now? Or
yes, I would.
Okay. Dated February 11th, 2025, to the Honorable Board of Aldermen, on behalf of the Sterling Opera House Commission, I am writing to you to present our recommendation regarding the assessment of the Opera House. We sent out an RFP November of 2024 for the assessment, and 8 firms submitted bids. We chose a short list of 4 firms, inviting them to come and give us presentations. At the time of the presentations, we interviewed them, asking relative questions. Our committee consulted with professionals in the theater and architectural industry who gave us their opinions, which we took into consideration. After working tirelessly through many hours and meetings, we unanimously recommended Steinberg Hart to perform the assessment. They are a leader in the industry, having many decades of experience in the historical theater restoration. We feel that they meet the RFP criteria and they come within the budget we have with our grant money. Respectfully, Dana Florenta, Sterling Opera House Commission Chairman. I will also be able to answer any questions you guys might have when that time comes up. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. DiGiovanni. Anybody else from the public? Mr. Lionetti?
With the mic on.
Okay. Am I on? Okay. I would just like to say what a great job the Derby Public Works Department has been doing with all this snow. And I watch on Facebook and I see all the ridicule, garbage pails, hitting a mailbox. Let me tell you, they're doing a tremendous job on the streets. And I think somebody needs to thank them for what they're doing. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lionetti. Anybody else from the public would like to speak? Anybody else from the public would like to speak? Is anybody else from the public like to speak? Anybody on the Zoom land that wants to speak, Mark?
If they want to do that, they should unmute.
Anybody that wants to talk to the board here, unmute yourself and identify yourself. Anybody else from the public wants to speak? Is anybody else from the public like to speak? Seeing none, public portion is closed. Number 6, administrative appointments. We're going to, we have the minutes of our meetings for the last 7 months. We have to go over each one individually. So if anybody has any, what I'll do is somebody make a motion to approve the minutes. There'll be a second and there'll be a discussion on the minutes. If there's no discussion on the minutes, then we'll approve those minutes as submitted.
Motion to approve April
11th, 2024. Have a motion from Ron So. Have
second,
a second.
Sarah.
Sarah, second. Any discussion on the minutes? Seeing none, make a motion to approve the minutes of April 11th, 2024. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Thank you. Second one is May 9th, 2024. Have a motion to approve the minutes.
So moved, Sarah.
Approved by Sarah. Have a second.
Second, Amy.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Thank you. Next one is 6.1.3, June 20th, 2024, regular meeting. Have a motion to approve.
So moved, Sarah.
Motion approved by Sarah. Second.
Second.
Second by Ron Sill. Any discussion? I do. So on page 13 of the June 20th, 2024, I have two things. One, on the third paragraph, our finance director indicated his reason that there was a budget deficit in the previous administration. So when his time comes to the report, I'm just going to ask him to try to expand on that. And the second is right under pension liabilities for paraeducators. There's a paragraph there that Mr. Chevarella seconded the motion. Ms. Wodonski requested that the Finance and Public Safety Committee receive a monthly financial report from the Board of Education. All agreed. No further discussion. When that time comes up for that committee, I'm going to ask if we have received any monthly financial reports from the Board of Education. With that said, motion to approve the June 20th, 2024 meeting minutes.
You have the motion in a second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. 6.1.4, June 25th, 2024 special meeting. You have a motion to approve?
So moved.
So moved. Motion by Amy, second?
Second.
Is that Robin?
Robin.
Okay. Seconded by Robin. Any discussion? All in favor? All opposed? Motion passes. 6.1.5, July 17th, 2024, regular meeting. Motion to approve?
So moved.
By Ron, second?
Second, Sarah.
Seconded by Sarah. Any discussion? All those in favor? All opposed? One abstention, 8 affirmative, motion carries. The next one is the 6.1.6, August 8th, 2024 regular meeting. Motion to approve?
So moved, Sarah.
Motion by Sarah, second.
Second by Robin.
Second by Robin. Any discussion? I do. So I just want to, our Boy Scouts, and I'm going to bring it up on the next one. I'd just like to have an update on how we're doing with that project on the Greenway. If you need any help, you know, how's it going? Just, you know, for them to come back and report back to us. That's it. So, all in favor?
I'm abstaining. I wasn't there.
And one of 8 and one exception. Thank you, Mr. Sill. The next one is 6.1.7, September 26, 2024, regular meeting. Have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Motion by Amy, second by
Robin.
Robin, thank you, Robin. Discussion. Just one thing under 7.3, Finance and Public Safety Committee, the media awareness campaign, subject to approval of the Chief of Staff at the amount of $23,000. Was that ever done?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. All in favor? All opposed? Motion carries. Next one, 6.1.8, October 10th, 2024, regular meeting. Motion to approve? Sarah. Motion by Sarah, second?
Second by Robin.
Okay, Robin, we'll give you this one. any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Next one, 6.1.9, November 14th, 2024, regular meeting. Motion to approve by Rob. Second by Ron. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. So it's 8 positive, 1 abstention. All in favor? We approve. Oh, we're good. Okay. Bear with me. 6.1.10, December 2nd, 2024, special meeting. Motion to approve.
So moved, Sarah.
Motion by Sarah, second.
Second.
By Ron. All in favor? Any discussion? All in favor? All opposed? Motion carries. 6.1.11, December 12, 2024. Regular meeting. Motion to approve.
So moved. Second, Sarah.
Motion by Ron, second by Sarah. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. 6.1.12, January 9th, 2025, regular meeting. Motion to approve the minutes.
So moved.
By Amy. Second.
Second, Sarah.
Sarah. Any discussion?
I was not there. I wasn't present that day.
Okay. So 8-1 abstention, Mark.
You were there.
Okay.
Nice try.
Yeah, nice try. All in favor? All opposed? Motion carries. They go on the line here? Oh, yeah, I did. So 6.1.13, January 29th, 2025, special meeting. Motion to approve.
So moved, Sarah.
Motion by Sarah, second. By Ron. Any discussion? You weren't at that meeting, Jessica. Okay. One abstention. 8-1. All in favor? All opposed? Thank you very much for that. Next one's 6.2, refund of taxes. Monthly tax refunds. Move to approve monthly tax refunds in the amount of $2,439.46. It's dated February 10th, 2025. Motion to approve.
So moved.
Amy, second.
We have it.
Is it in the packet?
It should be in the supplemental.
Supplemental packet.
It should be in the supplemental packet that you got. The first thing after the agenda with the posted agenda.
I'll second. Sarah.
Second by Sarah. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. All opposed? Motion carries. 6.3, appointments to boards and commissions. No action items this month. 6.4, Mayor Joseph DiMartino, municipal update. As I told you, the mayor's under the weather. He's not here today. So we'll table that. 7, committee reports and recommendations. 7.1, Community Relations and Blight Committee. 7.11, 253 Roseroy Drive, pending litigation. See item 10, executive session. I guess we'll discuss that in executive session. 7.2, Property and Development Committee. 7.2.1, Municipal Redevelopment Authority Resolution. Move to adopt a resolution entitled Resolution Regarding Joining the Connecticut Municipal Redevelopment Authority as a member municipality, dated February 13th, 2025. Any discussion, Counselor?
This is a redevelopment authority that was created pursuant to state statute 8-169 double little I and the an 8-169 double L. It has a broad mission to assist municipalities in terms of development. It is being led by David Corris, who I believe from memory was a state economic development official in the Governor Malloy's years as governor. And they are attempting to bring all the valley towns in this area into this particular endeavor. They will provide expertise in terms of development and hopefully some much needed state funds. So With that, there is a resolution that would authorize the mayor to go forward and enter into an agreement to become part of this particular state, quasi-state agency. Their mission, as I understand it, while it is very broad, they're going to be looking at trying to assist in terms of the housing crisis. That's one of their priorities. So, encourage residential housing development and other sorts of development as well. But the resolution lays out pretty much the scope of their responsibilities.
Thank you. Anybody have any questions? We have our economic developer, chairman, commander, whatever. Fresh from the testifying of the legislature, the state of Connecticut yesterday. Thank you very much for doing that. So if anybody has any questions for Roger, you could ask him. Robin, no?
No.
Okay.
Move to adopt the resolution.
All in favor? Right. Motion by Ron. Second. By Rob. All in favor of the resolution?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Roger, thank you very much. 7.2.2, select consultant for Sterling Opera House Comprehensive Plan Study. Move to appoint Steinberg Hart as a consultant to conduct the Sterling Opera House Comprehensive Plan Study as recommended by the Sterling Opera House Consultant Selection Committee and the Sterling Opera House Commission.
So motion. Moved, Sarah.
Motion by Sarah. Second.
I second.
Second by Amy. All in favor?
Aye.
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 All opposed? Motion carries. I want to thank the committee and the commission for the hard work that they did on this project. 7.3, Finance and Public Safety Committee. 7.3.1, 2023-2024 Financial Audit Update. Update on audit by Finance Director Brian Hall. Mr. Hall, you got the floor.
Good evening, everyone. Hello. So I'll start a little bit. Okay.
Because your dulcet tone comes across a little bit sooner than too close. Just a second.
I guess somebody made it a few minutes recently. So very good. So let me address before I get into the audit a little bit about some of the past minutes and discussions that we talked about. I think it also addresses some of folks' concerns that they talked a little bit about before with some of the past problems. I really still believe that the vast majority of the problems were a result of just poor budgeting practices, right? A lack of transparency, a lack of reporting around a lot of the key important expenses, right? You have to look at trends. If all of that information had been given to the Board of Finance, to yourselves, it would have been very obvious to many folks that these budgets that had been put in past in place had no chance for success, that there was no possible way we were going to be able to achieve those budgets. And so, you know, that I believe was a lot of the $3 million problem, you know, there was lack of coordination between the city and the Board of Ed when it comes to budgeting, which we're working on, but there are still issues that we'll have to figure out. To our resident's comment about, you know, forensic audit around this, I mean, a regular audit is around $100,000. A forensic audit for 1 year is going to be north of $100,000 to do a proper forensic audit. And we do want to keep taxes down. I do not want to raise them. I do not anticipate any double-digit tax increases at all. I think the goal is absolutely to push back as much as possible on all expense increases and have no increase in taxes. We're going to work through that process in the coming months. And I think everyone, all the mayor has sent out a letter with that initiative for everyone to try to achieve. And we're going to do our best to get there. As far as, so, you know, look, we've fixed a lot of those budgeting practices. We have a lot better reporting, a lot more transparency. So, you know, I'm much more comfortable that we're at least living in a world of reality. However, we do have to work on those expenses. We cannot just keep paying for things. You know, our grand list isn't growing enough to offset a ton of expense increases. You know, but that said, we are going to have some additional funds from the state for motor vehicle reimbursement. They're going to be very helpful. The grant list is growing somewhat. So we do have some room to absorb some of our contractual increases that we have, but, you know, certainly not enough to maybe do everything that everyone wants and still keep taxes flat. I think the as far as where we're at this year with our audit, so when I was hired as the finance director, I was not in charge of the tax office. It was around September when we started to have a lot of staffing problems, and I started to get concerned that, you know, what's going to happen if everyone leaves. Where I asked the mayor, you know, kind of volunteered to say, you know, put me in charge of the tax office so I can help figure things out if it goes sideways. As many of you are aware, it kind of went sideways on us in January when everyone left. But fortunately, I'd had a couple months to try to get acclimated to the role and the job, team in place. But that did consume a lot of time, December and January of mine. So it did put us back a little bit as far as the audit goes. I still expect it to be completed. Best case, probably March. Worst case, I'm shooting for May. You know, I still want to keep it in a better time frame than last year. However, I'm, you know, it absolutely was impactful that I had to spend as much time as I did down in that office to help with taxes for January. But hopefully the residents appreciate it. I think we gave them very good service, best we could, and we got them through a very, you know, busy time. The audits, when we're looking at the 23-24 year, this board did a lot of tremendous things to help fix the budgeting problems as far as using the ARPA funds, pulling back a little bit on some of the pension contributions. And I've done a lot of work with some of our third-party actuaries on some of the assumptions on our accruals, where we took a hit. So we're actually shaping up really good to hopefully have about a $1.2 million surplus in that 23-24 year. Now, it took a couple million dollars worth of actions by this board to get there, but nonetheless, at least we're going to be in the black. I think the big outstanding item right now, and again, it's been an issue in all of our audits, is the reconciliation between the city and the Board of Ed. There's hasn't been a very good process to reconcile a lot of the money that's going from the city to the Board of Ed. A lot of the Board of Ed reporting has had its challenges, and the numbers have changed as we've documented. So I've left myself a little bit of room. I'm hopeful that we could even maybe do better. But until we really finish up this reconciliation process, and until we truly got the right workings between the city and the Board of Ed, you know, we're still going to have a lot of risk of deficiencies, and we're still going to have some risk of some surprises down the road if all of a sudden the numbers aren't what they think the numbers are going to be. That's why I also think it's important that we get some of that reporting, as was noted. You know, I've certainly seen it, but at the same time, it's got to be accurate. So, you know, you have to kind of dig in a little bit more, and that's where this cash reconciliation comes into play. Because if the Board of Ed shows reporting that says they spent $20 million, but I sent them $22 million, well, that could be okay, and it might still work, but you have to be able to explain where did the other $2 million go, as an example, okay? So that's what we're working on, and that's, you know, really kind of the last piece to from our audit perspective to say, okay, you know, we've got a lot of work, but if we're going to get out from MFAC and we're going to get rid of all these deficiencies, you know, that's really the last piece, is getting everything coordinated and making sure that everything that's happening at the Board of Ed is what we think is supposed to be happening, that they stick to their budget, and that, you know, we get that reporting squared away. So I think those are really the major updates that I had for this team. I, you know, we are going to go in front of MFAC next week. I'm showing them that reporting. I'll probably have a similar conversation with them. But I expect it to go fine. I think they'll be understanding that we're a little bit behind because of some of our staffing challenges down in the tax office. And, you know, they're happy that, again, we have taken some of these actions. I know it's painful to do the tax increases. It's painful to use the ARPA funds to cover a lot of these expenses that weren't budgeted, but the board made the difficult decisions. And now, you know, we should be in a much better place from our where the general fund stands, and we have that money in the bank to use if we need to. Anyone have any other questions?
Brian, I want to just thank you for your guidance on this. I mean, without the use of the ARPA funds, we'd be in a significantly different place right now. So, you know, as difficult as it was to have to decide to use those funds, we were left with little choice. But thank you for your guidance on that and directing and keeping the taxes as low as possible for the residents.
Sure. Thank you.
And what is the update in the tax office now?
So from the office, we replaced the assistant tax collector and the tax collector. They both really started over the last 2 weeks, two weeks. Very excited. I think it's going well. The tax collector we hired is a seasoned tax collector. She came right in. She knows what she's doing. She was very polished. She had got some plans for how to do some things. I have to acclimate a little bit with some of our constraints and issues, maybe with some of our systems and some other challenges we have. So it's not going to be as perfect as maybe she would like it to be, but we'll figure out that balance. And I think it's working a lot better anyway, because there's a lot more direction and guidance that she has. You know, I do think organizationally, structure-wise, it is really important that the finance director is over the tax office. I think that's probably, you'll find that in most municipalities, and I think that's just how it should be. So, I mean, I'm glad we ended up setting it up that way. But, you know, for the future, you know, and in the Derby, as you're thinking about it, right, it kind of needs to stay that way, where things will start to fall apart again in those areas. And it's just too important an area to kind of leave on the side and hope that whatever incoming mayor may be around is going to, you know, somehow going to be able to manage that function, which is unlikely. And so then you're just left with, well, I hope I've got a really good tax collector who's doing their job, and maybe you do, maybe you don't. But.
And so it's fully staffed now?
Yes, fully staffed.
And how many, after we adjusted the salary, how many interviews were there after that meeting?
There were no other candidates that were presented to me that were certified tax collectors. So ultimately, we only interviewed the one candidate.
Okay, thank you. And then on the audit Board of Ed side, how much of your time is spent helping kind of get that in order? And is the Board of Ed and are they prepared going into the next year to do what they need to do and handle what they need to handle, so we're not pulling from your time and making sure that numbers that are presented are accurate?
So I wouldn't say a significant amount of my time has been with the Board of Ed. I think, you know, they're on a completely different system. So until I really get to the point where I can carve out a large portion of time to really learn the system and get into it, you know, we're really kind of in this limbo place where we're doing a lot more than we ever used to do, but not enough to, you know, probably get where we need to be. I think from on their side, you know, they're getting ready for their budget. It's very volatile depending on a lot of the special needs students and those numbers. But that said, there are still a lot of other variability that seems to kind of keep coming up with the reporting and with this. So I am hopeful that this reconciliation process that we've been trying to get working on will bear some fruit and will help some of that. But like I said, they've been very busy on their side and, you know, done a lot to get them there. I can certainly show them all the payments that the city's made to them, but I need some help. Like I said, if there's gaps, if we've given you more than your budget, you've got to help me understand, was it for past year? Is it, do you owe me money? What's going on? And that's kind of where we are right now, trying to work through that piece of it.
Thank you.
Anybody else have any questions? I just want to thank you for everything you've done. I've seen you in the window over there collecting taxes or whatever. We have the most expensive tax processor that we probably have in the state here, paying to collect people's taxes. And I really appreciate it, everything you do. And so being on the school board for 14 years, so I know how frustrated you are on the school board side with the finances and everything. And hopefully, you know, and I'm sure the mayor feels the same way as I do, and this board does, that we want to rein in the finances to make sure that there's no surprises that we have to pay more. I know special education is a big factor in the school board budget. And when I first started, it was only like $10,000 for a student. Now it's over $100,000 for a special ed student. So it's very expensive, but we're here for everyone. We're here to help everyone, no matter who you are. And with that said, you know, the mayor will, I'm sure, talk to Dr. Conway to have a meeting to see if we could discuss the what we have to do here. You know, I know Sarah had a great idea that we would get the Board of Education financial every month, but obviously that hasn't been done. You know, unfortunately, very sad. You know, and now and with their budget year, you know, their budget's coming, and I know it's talking to some of the Board of Education members that it's going to be very interesting this year for the Board of Education budget submitted to the city. So it's still not too late, and I'm sure the mayor feels the same way as I do, as this board does, that we have to sit down with the Board of Education and their finance director to make sure we're cooperating. You know, we don't want a tax increase. You know, we heard our residents, but, you know, it was for evening our budget. So with that said, I just remind you what I always tell you, don't be afraid to come before us and ask for something. We're here for you. Because you helped us out in the city when we're in financial straits. And if it wasn't for you, I don't know what would happen. So myself, and I'm sure the board, and I'm sure the mayor, we appreciate everything you do. And we look forward to a long-term relationship with you, you know.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate the kind words.
Thank you. Anybody else? Okay, thank you, Mr. Hall. 7.3.2, Register of Voters Wage Request, Discussion, Explanation of Legal Opinion by Corporation Counsel and Possible Action. Counselor,
you're on. Thank you, Mr. President. Ladies and gentlemen, we did an opinion dealing with this issue, and as you can see, the Connecticut Constitution generally prevents an elected official from getting an increase during that official's term if it is not approved prior to the start of the term. That's the simple rule. It gets a little different, however, where there's a four-year term, which apparently your registrars have. So with a four-year term, there was an amendment and to the Connecticut Constitution. The registrar could get one increase
after serving 2 years during the four-year term. So that is something you can do. Now, there was some thinking, I know, about tying the registrar into the general wage increases for City Hall employees. Under the Constitution, that won't work because there would be a raise in, say, year three, and there'd be a raise in year four. That's two raises, not one. So this is sort of a problematic thing, but you can consider it, you can think about it, and you can decide to give one raise, say, in year three. Now, what I would say is, though, in that Scalo versus Mandanese case, and the Connecticut Constitution makes clear, you can, during this term, set what the plan is going forward for the registrars. And that's what you should do. If you want the registrars to follow the town hall union, city hall union, you can adopt that in this term to take effect when they're upon the commencement of their next term. That's what you can do. But if you want to try to give a raise now that wasn't set out before you started this term, because it's a four-year term, you get one shot, one raise. That's basically what it all means.
Okay, any questions for a corporation question?
One raise like now
could yes, for the third year of the term, because they have to serve 2 years, at least 2 years. That's how the Constitution reads. And it's a Connecticut constitutional provision. So you can't change it by ordinance or...
So they can get a raise in year three.
Yes.
And then if they're reelected, they can get.
If you adopt, if you change, or, you know, sometimes you just set a scale, if you will, in advance by ordinance, or you can do that too. But if you want them to track the collective bargaining agreement of the City Hall employees, you can do that too.
And what would the appropriate motion be for that?
We can draw up a resolution for that because you want to... why don't I draw up a resolution and you put it on your next agenda, okay, if that's what you folks would like to do. So I want to get the exact contract language that they're going to follow, and I want to... about whether to reference the current salaries of the registrars. Maybe we will, maybe we won't, but let me do a resolution for you for that, okay? But you do have the other part of this is you can raise one time in year four, year three. That's something you, and effectively you can kind of figure out what the City Hall employees' general increases, and I'm glad the finance director is there. I see the town clerk raising his hand, but I'm thinking we have whatever that increase is for year three and whatever it is for year four. Maybe you can do a blended thing in year three, and that would be fair. The registrar would get more in year three than the City Hall employees, for example, but less in, won't get it in year four, so it'll kind of even out, if that's the board's intention. Does that work?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Yes, Mr. Garfalo.
Yeah, I would encourage the board to consider that, like a resolution as it relates to the current situation, because the time passed, and again, the previous administration would not address that matter. So now the new term just started. So we're like right at the very beginning of it. So in fairness to the registrars, whatever accommodation or whatever you could work out that complies with the law by resolution. But I would also encourage an ordinance like we have for other positions as it relates to going forward for the next term that also complies with the Constitution, so that because we've had to revisit this many times and it's been complicated to say the least So it probably would settle it and have the position keep up with things that are going on there.
And the town clerk's suggestion is something that we would take a look at. For example, if you want to do that, we'll see what the you probably have an ordinance on the books right now that deals with a number of positions that may say that. So all it would be is an amendment to that ordinance, dropping the registrars in. We could do that too. So we'll take a look at all that. If that's the general
consensus
of the board, that's where you guys would like to go.
We want
to
do that? Yeah.
Okay.
Dave, Chev, what do you think, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Robin, does this sound good?
Yeah.
And Arthur, you're, how's it sound?
Bless you.
Yeah, that's good with me.
Okay.
So Mr. I'm not, I'd have to look. I can't remember, to be honest. I don't know. I don't want to try to guess because I can't remember. But so the motion, the proper motion, Mr. President, would be to refer that matter back to the Finance and Public Safety Committee.
Okay. Any other comments? So 7.3.2, Register of Voters, wage requests referred back to the Finance and Public Safety Committee. Have a motion?
So moved, Sarah.
Motion by Sarah, second by Ryan. All in favor? All opposed? Yes. Discussion? No. Motion carries. 7.3.3, vendor license application of James Caprio of Jim's Ice Cream. Move to approve the vendor license application of James Caprio of Jim's Ice Cream.
So moved, Sarah.
Motion by Sarah. Second. Rob, any discussion? All in favor? All opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Eight, new business. 8.1, there's no action items this month. 9, old business. 9.1, no action items this month. Number 10, executive session. 10A, 253 Roosevelt Drive. Make a motion that we go into executive session and invite Corporation Counsel, Linda Fusco, Mark Garfalo. Brian, you want to come in this too?
He's always welcome.
Yeah, you're always welcome to come to the meeting there.
His
expertise and financial expertise is very helpful to us.
Yes. And it is pending litigation. Right. That's the basis for the executive session.
I will make a motion.
Thank you, Amy.
Mm-hmm.
Amy, second by motion Sarah. To go into executive session. Sarah, second it. All in favor?
Thank you.
All opposed? Motion carries. We're now in executive session. Mr. Garfalo, the time right now is 7:51 p.m.
Okay, so we're going to pause the tape and put the folks on Zoom in the waiting room, and then we'll let you back in when they're done.
All right, we're coming out of executive session at 8:20 p.m. We need a motion to come out of executive session.
So move 8:20.
Ron Sill.
Second, Sarah.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Number 11, regular session action from executive session. Discussion of possible action on the following matter. A, 11A, 253 Roosevelt Drive, pending litigation. Discussion and possible action. No action was taken in this matter. before we go to number 12, I hope Mayor DiMartino feels better. Number 12, adjournment.
So move 8:21.
Ron Sill. Sarah, second. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, everybody.